Today we are discussing tefillah. We are continuing our talk on prayer. And the Gemara says in Brachot, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet, 32b. The Gemara says four things require reinforcement. Four things require reinforcement. We have to reinforce four things. What are these four things? Number one, Torah. A person has to strengthen themselves to learn Torah. And you have to give a lecture to your husbands. They should learn more Torah. Or your children, your sons, your daughter, whatever, grandchildren. Four things require reinforcement. Number one is Torah. Number two, Maasim Tovim, good deeds. A person has to reinforce themselves. It's so hard to help other people. You know, someone came to my house last night, knocked on my door. I need a rest. Come on, give me a break. It's so hard to help. People need help. Okay, do. So you got to force yourself to help people. You have to force yourself to help people. Number three, what are we talking about now? Prayer. Prayer requires reinforcement. Why? Because we need to focus our minds on prayer. And that's avodah, that's work. Work is focusing the mind, because our minds, it's a million places. A person's mind can be in a million places in a few seconds. Yesterday I was talking, someone told me, that joke you said, that's all they remember. When I talk, that's all they remember. The joke you said, what were you talking about? He was totally in space, the guy. He was totally spaced out. He had a different version of what I was talking about. I don't know what happened.
He thought it was a joke.
It was a joke. He remembered it was a joke, but he didn't know what the joke was. Or what, I don't know. He saw everyone's. He was spaced out. That's what we do. We space out. We need reinforcement. We have to reinforce our minds. And number four, very important. Derech Eretz requires reinforcement. What is Derech Eretz? How we deal with other people. Especially our spouses. Especially our in-laws and our outlaws. I mean, I didn't say that. Especially people around us. Especially our friends. A person needs to act with Derech Eretz. Let's recap. A person needs to act with Derech Eretz. What does that mean? No shouting, no screaming, no abuse. No bad language, no dirty language, no foul language. It's the worst thing in the world, foul language. So, this is Derech Eretz. Four things require to be strengthened. These are four things required to be strengthened. Torah, good deeds, prayer, and Derech Eretz. And common courtesies. Speech. Common courtesies. So, what did Rashi say? Rashi says, a person should continually try to strengthen themselves in these areas. With all their might. It's very hard. What about you? Dealing with people is very, very hard. And a marriage, just staying married today. It's very hard to stay married today. People have big eyes, they're looking all over the place. And there's lots of availability. The availability, there's websites, there's all things. So a person needs to focus on their marriage, strengthen their marriage. Very, very important, critical. And Derech Eretz, Rashi says, we need reinforcement, strengthen yourselves in these areas. So prayer requires an effort all year round. A person's praying every day, we pray every day. We need to strengthen ourselves in prayer.
What do we say? Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah.
Yes, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. What does that mean? Before even a person studies Torah, they should work on their relationships with people. It's very easy to love God. Why? It doesn't bother me. I don't know about you. God doesn't bother me. Thank you so much. Hashem should reward you many times. Bezrat Hashem. Acts of kindness. See? Acts of kindness. Here we are. Derech Eretz in practice. Baruch Atah. So, tefillah requires reinforcement, and Derech Eretz requires reinforcement. Four things require reinforcement. And so prayer is so hard to do. It's so hard. If you need something, it comes very easily. But if you don't think you need something, truth is we need every day. We need. What do we need? We need what's called an insurance policy. Some people buy life insurance. What about you? I don't buy life insurance. You know why? It's not really life insurance. It's death insurance. People don't tell you that. They sell you life insurance, but really it's death insurance. You're not going to be around. So you worry about your family. So you provide for them. But it's not life insurance. Death insurance. It's just like a credit card. It's not a credit card. It's a debit card. It's a debt card. And people are in debt because they take credit cards. But if they call it a debit card, if they call it a debt card, no one's going to use it. It's a credit card. It's a credit card. It's positive. It's all negative. It's positive. Our best life insurance is? Guys, come on. Prayer. Prayer. Refa'enu Hashem ve'rafe. Heal us, Hashem, heal us. But I'm strong. I'm healthy. Oh, yeah? How long for? We pray for health when we are healthy. That's the trick. You pray for wealth when you are wealthy. Because Hashem, it's like a galgal. The rabbis say, wealth is like a galgal. It's like a wheel. It goes around and comes around and goes around. And comes. So we pray when we have it, we pray. That's when the trick is to pray when you have it. If you don't have it, how much more so you got to pray? But even when you have it, you got to pray. It's an insurance policy. The best insurance policy is the rock. The rock. Who is the rock? Hashem Tzuri. What's Tzuri? My rock. Hashem Tzuri v'Goali. My rock and my redeemer, David HaMelech says. Hashem is my rock and my redeemer. So we are created, yesterday's parasha, very topical. Man was created in the image of God. Now, when I say man, I don't mean man. I mean everyone, humankind, were created in the image of Hashem. That's a very powerful message over here. Judaism gives us in one foot what took the world till, when was the Declaration of Independence? 17. And Bill of Rights? Bill of Rights? 1789. It took the world till 1789 to get to this point, where all human beings were created equal. What the Torah said right at the beginning, man was created not just equal, in the image of Hashem. That is a very, very high level. The image of Hashem is a very high level. So we have an enormous privilege. What is the privilege? That we can talk to Hashem. The image of Hashem doesn't mean we're in the physical image. Hashem has no physical image. We have the ability to create. We have the ability to think. We have the ability to choose. That's the image of Hashem. Yes. The Talmud asks that question. The Talmud says, it's interesting, the Talmud says that built into the Torah are pitfalls. This is very, very, very weird. The question the Talmud asks is when the Torah says, let us make man. Na'ase Adam in the plural. Talmud says, hey, that's, people are going to say there's many gods up there. So the Gemara says, let them say what they want. Tzadikim yelchubam, uposhim yikashlubam. The righteous will walk in the Torah and the evil people will strip over the Torah. The Torah has built-in trip falls. Interesting. You can learn the Torah and point fingers and say, look what the Torah says. Ah, there's more than one God here. Look, it says explicitly. Let us make man. It's in the plural. So the Midrash says Hashem took advice from the angels and the angels said not to make man. Hashem said, I'm going to make man. Whatever you say. He's the boss, I mean. But it teaches us how to, that's derech eretz. Hashem teaches us derech eretz. In other words, to consult with your inferiors even. What do we do? Like the CEO, a good CEO will come along, have a meeting with all his managers and say, how do we run this operation? A bad CEO will say, we're going to do this. Like Trump, I'm sorry. We're going to do this, despite what you say, don't, whatever your advice. If you don't, if you argue with me, you're out. That's it. My way or the highway? That's a bad CEO. Hashem says, let us make man. Is it a good idea? Not a good idea? Let's take a vote. It's interesting. Very interesting. Fascinating midrash over here. How to run a corporation. Hashem is running the biggest corporation in the universe. How does he run his corporation? With derech eretz. With manners. Amazing. Amazing. But the Gemara asked that question. Gemara says, what do people say? And the answer is, we don't care what people say. Why? If they're straight people, they'll just learn the Torah the way it should be learned. And they're not straight. They're going to find fault anyway. But the Torah is open for people to find fault. Built in the Torah are pitfalls itself. Amazing. They're like minefields. You've got to traverse the Torah like I'm walking through a minefield with care, very tremendous care. The Gemara says, look what the Gemara says. Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, 31a. In every place you find God's greatness, you find His humility. Every place, Hashem is amazing. Why? Because He's the greatest in the world and the most humble in the world. What's that mean? It's written in the Torah. Hashem, your God, is the God of gods. Melech Malchei Melachim. The great and mighty and awesome God who shows no favor and takes no bribe. What's the next line? He does justice to the widow, to the orphan, loves the stranger, provides him with food and clothing. So the greatness, he's the King of Kings, and what does he do to show he's the King of Kings? He looks after the downtrodden, that's what he does to look after. He looks after the widows and the orphans and the strangers and the gerim, the converts. That's the difference between us. The person gets higher and higher and higher, and they forget about the people low. Hashem never forgets. He is on the side of the underdog. Hashem is on the side of the underdog all the time. Side of the underdog. Yeshayahu Nabi says, so says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place. Yet, also with who is of low and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the lowly. Amazing, huh? Hashem is so great. But his greatness is, he doesn't forget about the low. His greatness is, those who are down and out, Hashem is on their side. Hashem is for them. It's amazing. This is the greatness of God. This is what we got in Derech Eretz. We have to learn Derech Eretz from Hashem. Hashem cares about the lowly people. Person sitting around their house, and they have food, and they have clothing, and they're not worried about anything else, but Hashem is worried about those who don't have. That's amazing. That's God's greatness. That's greatness. That's greatness. So the question is, can I turn to God with my small problems? Does God really care about it? That's Einstein's question. Einstein, you know, you walk down the street, he says, you don't think about the ants on the street. Well, if you see a whole pool of ants, would you really walk on top of the ants? I wouldn't walk on the ants. I said, you've got to be a mean person to walk on top of the ants. But you usually don't look for ants walking down the street. Today I saw there was a flood in Israel in the south. There was a lot of rain. Baruch Hashem. To rain more. There was a flood in a Nahal, I can't remember. One of the rivers in the Negev. And you see a snake running away from the flood. It was a poisonous snake. It was an adder. How do you say adder in Hebrew? Quickly.
How do you say one?
Adder. An adder is an accountant. I'm just joking. Snake. It adds. Okay.
We're going to miss you, Rabbi.
L'chaim, l'chaim. So Hashem gave us the ability to pray to God, even with small things. There's no such thing small for God. That's the greatness of God. The greatness of God is, like most people get sick of hearing these things, you know? If someone comes to me with all the small little things every day, every day, every day, I gotta get fed up. Hashem never gets fed up. Hashem loves every single person, and he loves even their small problems. Even their small problems. He listens to every prayer, every request, whatever form it comes. Imagine you go crazy. There was a movie once they made about a guy who was, I don't know, don't pay attention. Stupidity. But just, it has a clip over there showing all the requests going to God. And this one praying for this, one praying for this. Like millions of billions of people. There's billions of people in the world. How many requests does God get every second? Boom, 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 boom. Like anyone else, like people lining up around the block to see you. Can you imagine? It's more than around the block. Billions of people coming just with their prayers.
They have angels.
Yeah, of course. Don't worry, there's plenty of them. I'm just giving an example. But eventually it's him. And eventually it's not the angels who decide. It's all God. All God. God is capable.
Millions of angels.
Okay. I don't talk to the angels. I talk to Hashem. We don't believe in angels. We don't talk directly to angels. We talk to the boss. I want to talk to the boss. I don't want to talk to the civil servants. Even though they're paid very well, the civil servants are paid very well. We want to talk straight to the boss, and that's our opportunity. That's the greatness of Judaism. The greatness of Judaism is you turn to the wall and pray to God directly.
Yeah, the guy you have.
And it's a local call. That's a thing. It's a local call. It's a local call. We have a 1-800. Okay. Hashem says, David HaMelech says, I pour out my complaints before him. I lay my troubles before him. Psalm 142. So today, people don't believe in God. What do they do? Psychologists, lawyers, doctors, social workers. I can't tell my troubles to God. Who do I turn to? I turn to the social worker. I turn to the psychologist. I'll turn to someone else. Anyone who will listen. We don't need that. I don't need that. You know why? Just turn to God. I got this problem. I got. Obviously, sometimes you need more help. But first, turn to God. God is your first resource. Hashem, that's all David HaMelech had. If you read the book of Tehillim, it's amazing. It's psychological. It's like he's taking out all his troubles. He's pouring out his woes. He doesn't need to hire someone for, how much is it now? Yeah, he doesn't have to hire someone. He has a God who's listening all the time. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of the system.
Sometimes the therapist can direct you to God.
Yes, exactly. That's the idea. That's the job of the therapist.
But you realize, Rabbi, that Hashem doesn't answer you verbally.
Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Hashem does not need to answer you verbally. But sometimes, there's a beautiful story. It says there was a guy, he was a backpacker. He was backpacking through Europe. And they tell him, you're Jewish, you should be going to Israel. Okay, so he goes to Israel. He doesn't believe in anything. He goes to Israel. He says, you're in Israel, you need to go to the waiting wall. You need to go to the wall, the Kotel. He goes to the wall. And he says, God, if you really exist, give me a sign. Give me a sign, if you really exist. All of a sudden, he feels someone patting on his back. And it was a little boy, a little guy, Jeff Seidel. Would you like to come over for Shabbos? He got his sign. He asked for a sign, he got his message. So that's, we don't realize, sometimes we are the angels of God. We can be the messenger of God. When the person says, I need help, please, Hashem, send me help. And the guy says, I'll help you, what do you need? That is, you will become the messenger of God. That's our job. That's what Rashi says, the forefathers were the Merkava of the Shekhinah. They were the chariots of God. You know what chariots of God mean? They did God's role in the world. They performed God's role in the world. There's a poor person needs help, Avraham Avinu was right there. The sick person needs help, Avraham Avinu is right there. Rabbi Akiva was there helping the sick. Yes, sir. This guy didn't ask me. He didn't ask me whether he should look for signs or not. He prayed to God, give me a sign. I didn't say he should do it. I didn't say you should do it. Did I say you should do it? I said that's a story. The story is the guy prayed to God. You can pray to God for anything you want. He said, God, if you exist, give me a sign. He goes, man, he got a sign straight away. Boom. But can you pray for it? Sure, you can pray for anything you want. Should you look for it? I don't know. Sometimes it happens whether you look for it or not. So sometimes Hashem gives you that. You can't avoid the sign. It's like a universe. It's like amazing. Hashem, amazing. Hashem is amazing. Hashem guides a person. So you got to look for guidance. In life, you've got to look for guidance. Sometimes the door closes. And so you got to just accept it. You say, Gamzul Tova, the door closed on me. What do I look for now? Well, I look for a door that's opening. This door closed. It's not the end of the world because there's always doors closing and opening. So you just got to look for the door opening. In life, there's a door that closes. And a person says, oh, that's the end, it's the end. How's the door closed? No, there's another door over there. This doctor can't help you. Open the other door. What are you waiting for? You know the joke, the Scotsman, the Frenchman, and the Jew? No. And the doctor says, you have 1 week left to live. And the Scotsman opens up his piggy banks and starts spending his money. And the Frenchman, I can't tell you what he did. And and the Jew, he goes, says, I'll get another opinion. That's the way life is. That's the way a person believes in life. Hashem closes one door, you have to remember there's another door. So it's interesting, very fascinating. In life, a person should never give up. Never, never, never give up. We believe in God who's all-powerful. I mean, you can't get anything higher than that. You can't get anything higher than that. If you want to appeal to something, there's nothing higher to the King of Kings. We're so lucky, we can just go to the King of Kings. So it's interesting to compare it to a mother who loves to hear the babble of the infant. And you have a granddaughter, right? You like to hear babbling? She babbles and babbles and babbles. I have granddaughters as well. So cute. Boy, so cute. Babble and babble. They babble. But they're cute. Hashem likes us babbling. Our prayers to God, probably like babbling of the little children. And I'm just giving an example. I don't know. But that's it. Hashem says, I want to hear from you. I want that connection. I built you. I created you. What do the parents want from their children? They want, I want to see videos. Send me more videos. Send me more. I want to be in connection. I want to see what's going on. So that's a very important idea. And that was the curse of the snake. What was the curse of the snake? Hashem cursed the snake. What did he curse him? You lie on the ground and? Eat the? Eat the dust. Is that a curse or a blessing? It's the biggest blessing you can get. You know why? Everywhere you go, your food is there. Don't have to go to work. Everywhere you go, you eat the dust. I'm hungry, okay. I'm right in the dust. He's right next to the dust. He said, look, it's a problem. It's the best blessing you can have. So why is it a curse?
You don't need Hashem.
You don't need God anymore. Right, very good. That's right. The idea is, Hashem says, here, take your food and get out of here. I don't want to see your face again. That's the biggest curse. When Hashem breaks the bond between him and the Creator. Whereas we have to keep on going back and keep on going back and keep on going back. Hashem, help us. And if everything is going good in your life, you still need Hashem. You know what for? To destroy the Yetzer Hara. Because your Yetzer, to control your Yetzer Hara, because Yetzer Hara is there till the day of death. So if you have nothing else to pray for, that's what you have to pray for. Just liberate me from my Yetzer Hara, Hashem. But just don't do it in a way which is the usual way. Okay, so Hashem says, I waited to hear from you. And that's the curse of the snake. Hashem says, I don't hear from you anymore. Go away. Leave me alone. Go away. Take your food and go. And that's a famous Gemara in Yevamot Daf Samach Dalet. Samach Dalet, Yevamot 64a. The Gemara says, Hashem made the three of the four mothers were barren. Why were they barren? He wanted to hear their prayers. Yeah. Wild. Amazing. They pray, just have a child, just to pray. So if you had a child easy, you're very lucky. Very lucky. If you never had a child, there's always hope. Even if you're 90 years old, can you imagine? Gosh, she was 90 years old. 90 years old. Okay. So let me share with you a conversation I had with the director of a large retirement home. Okay, there's a home not far away. And the residents, the children live far away. Children live all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there were three categories of children. The first child sends a check every month to their parents because they're far away. They just send a check. Dad, Ma, this is for your expenses this month. Sometimes they include a short note. How are you doing? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Others sent the monthly check, not to the parent, but to the retirement home. Directly. And the parent didn't know whether their children remember them or don't remember them. The third type comprised those who had a bank order, standing order. They didn't have to bother every month. Just the money goes straight to the retirement home automatically. Which parent feels the best? The first one. Why?
Communicating.
Connection. So that's the connection.
I don't think so.
That's what Hashem says.
I don't think so. I think the parent that pays the bill.
Okay, that's not one of the three. It's a multiple choice, one out of three. Pick the three. One out of three, you're too Jewish, come on.
They're all playing.
Yeah, paper. You're number four already. You're not writing the test. I'm writing the test over here, okay. Let's rewrite the exam. She goes to the exam. Yeah, let's rewrite the exam. Okay. That's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Hashem says, Yaakov, you have to ask every single time. You need something, you have to ask me. Esav had a monthly bank account. He didn't even see Hashem, didn't have any conversation with Hashem, he just gets it automatically. It's interesting, the Kabbalists talk about two different kinds of energies. I'm letting you into a big secret, so pass it around. It's a very big secret. There's energies which come direct, and there's energies which are background energies. The Kabbalists say, they're called igulim, round energies. And the round energies give humanity automatically without asking. Whereas the energies that come straight depend on what we do. And we have to ask for them. So it's a much higher level of existence. It's a much painful existence. Why? Because you don't get things automatically. You have to pray for it. Bang your head. Look how we got the state of Israel. Look at that. How many years we had to pray? You had to pray for 1900 years. Praying. Techazena, enu, shuv chalitzion, barachamim. Please Hashem, we're still not there. We're praying every day. Techazena, enu, shuv chalitzion. Please Hashem, let us see. When you come back to Zion, we haven't seen that yet. You can live in Israel, you still haven't seen that. Did God come back to Zion yet? A little bit.
Yes.
But we're waiting for the temple. It's not there. The Shekhinah's presence is starting to come, but it's not there. 100%. Don't worry, when it comes, it's going to be a big bang. It will come with a bang. But we want to see it. We're praying. Every day we pray, three times a day. So it's a slow process. Look how slow it is. 100%. But you can see a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a famous story. It says one of the Hasidim says he wanted to run away from the Yetzer Hara. He wants to run away from evil. What does he do? He runs to Israel. This is 300, 400 years ago. This is the Baal Shem Tov's student. He runs to Israel and he gets a letter from the Baal Shem Tov. No? Did you run away from the Yetzer Hara? He says, run away from the Yetzer Hara. This is where he's based. This is the base of the Yetzer Hara. Why? The greater the Kedusha, the greater the Tumah. The more holiness, the more defilement. That's the irony of the situation. The greater the person, the greater the Yesara. It's amazing. So this, a person can fall so fast. 1 minute angel, next minute devil. Angel. It's amazing.
I don't see it. I mean,
you don't see it.
All these things, I don't.
You don't see it. Come to Tel Aviv with me.
No, I don't understand.
Okay, good. What I'm saying is, the more defilement, the more holiness as well. There's an attachment.
There's a potential.
There's a potential for. There's both. The more good, the more bad. Right? Are you with me?
Yeah.
For example, in the shul. Let's give an example. You're sitting in the shul. Shul is the holiest place we have today. The shul. You go to shul. And where's the Yetzirah? What's the Yetzirah telling people to do?
Talk.
So you see, the holiest place, and the biggest Yetzirah. And it's much harder not to talk in a shul. Let me give another example. Prayer. It's the holiest thing you have, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the Yetzirah telling you to do? Not to focus. Just think about other things. And your mind is all over the place. In the holiest, you're trying to do the holiest thing, and that's the biggest barrier. The barriers are where it's holiest thing. Marriage, holiest thing. And the Yetzirah won't let you go. It's terrible. Rachel wants to break that marriage. So Yetzirah, it's totally Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah gets hold of this one, and gets hold of that one, and the Yetzirah, they get fighting, and it's disgusting. It's sick. But that's the Yetzirah. It wants to destroy. The whole purpose of the Yetzirah is to destroy. That's not true. The Yetzirah is better than the Yetzirah Tov. Why? Why is the Yetzirah? Because it says, when Hashem saw man, he says, when he created man, he says, Tov Me'od. So the Gemara says in Brachot, it says, Tov is the Yetzirah Tov. Me'od is the Yetzirah.
It forces you to grow.
It forces you to grow, and the Yetzirah itself, the angel itself, is happy when you beat it. Hopefully.
Why forces you to grow?
In other words, how do you get a great swimmer?
Practice, yeah.
Practice, and then what? You got to beat the best swimmer before you. So you have a time to beat. You know how hard it is to beat that time? Let's give an example. The 4 minute mile. Who beat the 4 minute mile? Roger Bannister. Roger Bannister beat the 4 minute mile. And then what happened next?
Everyone else
beat the 4 minute mile. It was psychological. So the Yetzirah is like psychological. Stops you from, no one can win this. And the guy says, I'm going to beat that Yetzirah. He puts a barrier so that now when you beat it, you're even greater than you were before.
So the Yetzirah Torah takes over the...
Pardon?
So that the good takes over the...
Yes, exactly. The good will beat the bad. Because without evil inclination, we have no motivation to do anything. We're lost. We have nothing, no purpose in the world. What is our purpose in the world? Now we have a purpose.
So you have to fight.
Our purpose is to fight. Our purpose is to fight the battle, and sometimes you don't even win the battle. But at least you tried. Hashem doesn't reward you for winning. Hashem rewards you for trying. That's the beauty of the system. We get reward for our struggles. Every daily struggle, we get reward. I can't wake up in the morning, so I'm battling and battling, battling. You get reward for the battle. Baruch Hashem. I can't focus on my prayers, but I'm battling. Okay, you get reward for the battle. I have this desire, this is a chocolate cake. Ah, I got a battle. Get reward for the battling. Okay, so Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov has to battle his life. What a life he had. Terrible. Terrible. Look at the thing about his life. He himself complained about his life. That was his biggest test. Is he going to complain? And he complained at the end. He complained to who?
Paro.
What did he say? Me'at v'ra'im yamei chayai. Me'at, few, well, he was already 130 years old. But for him it was small. Me'at v'ra'im, and evil, the days of my life. Oy, oy, oy. He's complaining. So you know what the Rashi says over there? And the Vilna Gaon says he lost how many days of his life? Every word he lost 1 year. Every word of complaint. In other words, never complain. It can always be worse. Never complain. A person should never complain. Always say gam, zu, letova. Boy, that's hard to do. It's hard to do. When things are going well, of course, you say, thank God. When things are not going well, what do? Kvetch. You kvetch. You know the story of the guy, he had a dog, and he throws the ball, and he says, fetch, fetch. The dog says, it's too far away, I'm old, leave me alone. He said, I said fetch, not kvetch.
Can't hear either.
Yeah? So that's it says the stewards and stewardesses on the New York Miami route, they're the biggest anti-Semites. Because the Jews on the plane always kvetch. But you know why Jews quench? You know why Jews complain? Do you know why Jews complain?
Jews.
No. You know why? Gotta think deeper. Why do Jews complain?
We
want to fix the world. We want a world which is perfect. We don't want a world which is not perfect. So part of seeing the world as being perfect, our job is to make the world perfect. Tikkun olam. Letaker olam. The malchut shaddai. Which is, why should disease exist? So you see all these researchers, all these Jewish researchers trying to fix disease. It's amazing. But if you don't want to, you just accept it and say, I don't mind disease. That's terrible. It's a terrible attitude. So you have to say, I don't accept imperfection. Because I want to make it perfect. That's the reason why we complain. But you have to complain with the purpose of fixing, not complain for no purpose. That's it. Yes.
So is it down to the Torah, or what does Hashem want us to learn from the situation that we're in?
You have to study.
Obviously, there's two aspects to it. I have every two aspects to everything. One aspect is...
Could you speak up? Because I want to hear what you have to say.
We should have a loudspeaker over here. Everyone comes to the mic, and then you ask your question. That's, I think it's a good idea, right? Everyone agree? Okay, we only have like a couple of months to get the loudspeaker. All right, so what was your question again?
Is it Gamzu the Tova, or is it what does Hashem want me to do in this situation? Because the danger of Gamzu the Tova is denying the situation.
Very good, excellent question. What do you think about when you say Gamzu the Tova? Number one, obviously, there's a tikkun. Hashem did something, and he has a lesson for you to learn. That's one aspect of it. So now, what do I do if my teacher gives me a punishment? What do I do? Do I rebel against the teacher?
No, you can't.
What do I do?
You do it.
What do I do? I say, I have to learn my lesson. I'll never forget, my father gave me such a thrashing. Oh boy. He gave me such a thrashing. I must have been 6, 7 years old. I'll never forget it in my life.
What did you do?
I can't. But you know what? I think maybe a better person.
I think so.
Hey, I'll never forget that. Oh boy. All right. I still can't sit down properly. Okay.
Still can't sit down properly.
Okay. So number one is, it's a lesson. Number one is a lesson. But number two is, how do you accept that lesson? Suppose it says, you know what? I hate that guy. He give me such a. You can hate your father all your life. Rubbish. It's not true, because he didn't do it to destroy me. He did it to teach me a lesson. Exactly. He did a very good job. So number one is, you got to appreciate it's a lesson. Number two is, what was the lesson? What can I learn from this lesson? So he's saying, comes with the Torah. That means I accepted Hashem. Not only do I accept it, I find it was very good. It has an effect on me. The effect is a good effect on me. It's going to have a good effect on me. It's going to make me more humble. It's going to make me think twice. It's going to make me listen to you next time. So it's not just Gamzu l'Tov, obviously it has ramifications as well. Unless you're on a very high level. If you're on a very high level, you did nothing wrong. There's nothing to learn but to say, this has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. So that's Nachumish Gamzu. A man of Nachumish Gamzu, big tzaddik, there's nothing to learn from it. He just says, Hashem gave me a present.
So that's Yov.
Let me give an example. Now, Yov was not on the level of Nachumish Gamzu. Yov did complain. He should have said Gamzu l'Tova, but he didn't. But still, on his level, fantastic. Halavai. We could be on that level of Iyov and even higher. Gamzu l'Tova, of Nachumish Gamzu. But Nachumish Gamzu was on the level where he was like an angel. Right? He was taking the treasures to Rome from Israel to pay off the emperor. And what happens? In the hotel that he stayed in, there were crooks. They emptied out his treasure chest of treasures and they put in earth from the backyard. So he opens up in the morning and he says, where's all the money? Gamzu l'Tova, no problem, I'll take the earth. He takes the earth to the emperor and the emperor opens the chest and he says, Chutzpah, put him in jail. The Jews, look what they did, they're rebelling against me. So the Gemara says that Eliyahu Navi was over there, because who else would say this? He said, the Jews are not foolish. It must be magic earth. Use it in the army against your enemies. You're going to fight the Huns. You know, the Germans, they were making trouble. Huns, you're going to fight the Huns. Send the bit of the earth and then see what happens. Throw it at the enemy and see what happens. The Midrash says that that Avraham Avinu took the earth and threw it and became and turns into arrows and spears. It's cried out. So he takes the sense of the earth, and true enough, they beat over enemies. And he comes back. He gives Nachum Ish Gamzu, he fills it with treasure. Can you imagine? He gets earth and he gives Nachum Ish Gamzu treasures instead. Have you heard this one story? Amazing story. So now Nachum Ish Gamzu is going back, and he stays in the same hotel. Look at the chutzpah. The faith in God, tremendous faith in God. He stays in the same hotel with all the crooks. And the crooks are saying, what happened? He said, that earth, fantastic. It was magic earth. The guy said, yeah, we have magic earth in our backyard. They go and dig up the whole backyard, take a wagon full of magic earth to the emperor. Emperor, you know that earth that you gave you is from our backyard. Here, we have a whole wagon full. He said, okay, I'll try it out. But first, put them in jail, and when I try it out, let's see if it works. He tried it out, and his army was devastated. He comes back and he kills them all. It's terrible. But what do you see? The faith of this man was, it was just pure faith. It was, I live on faith. Faith alone. That means what? That means even the bad itself is good. It's not like the bad is bad. The bad itself is good. That's hard to get that level of living. Because he was innocent. So. But we're not innocent, so we have to learn our lessons. Hashem is teaching us a lesson. That's David HaMelech says, Shiftecha o mishantecha. What does that mean? Your rod and your Hema yinachamuni. They will comfort me. How does a rod and a staff comfort you? Number one, a rod, it's sticks are the best, boy. When I was in school, you don't want to go live in England at that time period, you know.
Oh boy, you had a lot, Rabbi.
I had a rough life. But it makes you a better person. You see all the kids today, they're spoiled brats.
Just try and
kill
the rod, you'll see what happens.
I know. I'm trying to figure out my next move for my grandchildren. Just someone has to straighten them out. The kids, the parents don't straighten them out. Someone has to straighten them out. So, but it's not going to be me. You got to lead by example. Today, you lead by example. That's it. What can you do? The kids today are spoiled rotten. Why? Because the parents are failing at parenting.
What?
The parents are failing at parenting. Okay. You know what that means?
Yeah, they're so busy, Rabbi.
They're so busy with what? That their job, a parent's job is to be a parent. Right. My yes is yes and my no is no. It's not wishy-washy. And all they tell the kids is, I want you to be happy.
It's not easy.
I want you to be happy is not a remedy for being good. I want you to be good, not I want you to be happy.
It depends where you live, the schools. I'll tell you a funny one.
I know. I'm also a parent.
I tell my grandchildren, pick up the clothes. Grandma, beautiful. I'll pick up the clothes when the pile gets so
big. Oh, yeah.
No? So what can I say?
What can you say? Pick it up now! You know what? They won't like you, but you know what? They'll respect you.
Yeah.
And it's not a contest, a beauty contest. You know what I mean? Right. Uh-huh. Being a parent and a grandparent is not being a beauty contest. It's being a parent and a parent. That's what it means. Yes.
But maybe the parents resent being so oppressed a little bit.
Oppressed.
I'm saying from.
What would you do if your grandson locked you out of your car?
Oh great!
Punch him.
What would you do? You can't punch your grandson.
No,
because their parents don't allow you to.
How old is the Jay grandchild? Was it an accident?
No, he's a rich rascal. I'm just giving examples. I'm not saying it happened to me. How's it shut up? Never happened to me.
It happened to you?
No, it never happened to me. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Okay, let's move on. How do we get to this topic? Hashem is the celestial parent. That's the thing. That's what we got up to. So Hashem is the celestial parent. Hashem wants to teach us. Shiftecha mishantecha, your rod. Sometimes we get a patch. Hashem gives us a patch. Person loses money. Person gets sick. Bar minan. Person, something bad happens. Bar minan. The IRS. Bar minan. We should never know. Patch. So a person has two reactions. You say, Hashem, I don't like you anymore. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. That's a stupid reaction. Because there's nowhere to run and hide from Hashem. There's a beautiful song. In the high holidays, Sfarim, we sing a song that I'm running away from you to you. There's nowhere to run. Where are you going to run? You can run from Hashem. You can't run anywhere. You can say what you want. We all need God. So you can know it. So it's a stupid attitude. Like, I hate my parent. I hate my father. My father punished me. I hate him. That's a stupid attitude. My father's trying to teach me something. Let me listen to what he's trying to teach me. He didn't do it out of spite. He didn't do it out of vengeance. He did it to teach me a lesson. If he didn't teach me a lesson, let me find out what am I doing wrong. What am I I've got to try and improve. That's what it means. Shiftecha. And what's Mishanticha is your rod. What is the rod? Staff. Sorry, staff. The shepherd's staff has a crook. You know what a crook is?
It's like a hook.
Thank you. See, I'm glad you came. It's a hook. The hook is there to pull you. Hashem pulls us and Hashem pushes us. There's two ways to motivate a person. One is pulling and one is pushing. So Hashem does both. Hashem, now, why did it comfort him? Why did it comfort David HaMelech? Where's the comfort? I got a whack. Where's the comfort in the whack?
Relationship.
Hashem is watching. I know Hashem is watching me. Yes.
If something bad happens, you can say Hashem is doing this for me, not to me.
Well, it's to me as well, don't
you? Right, but it's
to teach me a lesson. Sure, for my benefit. That's it. That's the point. Exactly. It's comforting me. Why? It shows there's hashgacha. There's divine providence. If nothing happens, there's no divine providence. Very simple. Sometimes.
That's all right. I'll take nothing.
No, take the good. Why not? Good things happen as well. Divine providence. Take the good things at least, please.
But if something bad happens, you say it's divine providence.
It's all divine providence. It's all divine providence. Okay. And you know what? Many small bad and not one big one. Many small little things, not one big one. Let it rain today. That'll be the best kapara. Halavai. That's it.
We pray for rain.
It's rain. There you go. See how we got an answer straight away. In Israel, they were answered the same day. They pray for rain. Storm. Big storm. So, yeah. So pray for rain, they get rain. Okay. Okay, guys, let's just finish off. We have a few minutes, 1 minute left. Okay. Hashem desires our prayers. Yaakov had to pray all the time. Yaakov had to pray. His life became bitter. Why? But he has to realize he needs to pray. He needs to pray. Vayeshev Yaakov beBe'er Sheva. Yaakov dwelt in Be'er Sheva. Rashi says, he desired peace and tranquility. He said, you want peace and tranquility, God says? That's in the next world. In this world, the Tzaddikim have to struggle. This is the world of struggle. This is the world we earn our retirement. How do you earn your retirement? Do as many good deeds as you can, as much Torah as you can, as much prayer as you can. There's a famous rabbi, Rabbi Toledano. He's a very, very old Sephardic rabbi. He was like 90 years old, 99 years old. He would pray like 5 miles a day. They said, what are you praying for? I'm praying for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren. Why? I'm praying for them all to remain Jewish. That's our prayer. Our prayer is, Anachnu, v'tzetzaenu, we and our children, our children's children should all be devoted to you, Hashem. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Bezras Hashem.